For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul's greeting from the book of Ephesians. I'll be reading the text in front of you as the sermon progresses. My dear Christian friends and friends of Shoreland, in the quiet of the night under the cover of darkness so that he would not be seen, a religious expert had a secret conversation with Jesus. You know who I'm talking about, right? Nicodemus. He wanted to know more about Jesus' new and persuasive teachings. And in there, one of the truths that Jesus taught him was about the work of the Holy Spirit. He said, "The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." In other words, the Spirit usually works differently than he did at Jesus' baptism, when he came down from heaven in visible form as a dove and lighted on Jesus as he came out of the waters of the Jordan. Usually he moves like the wind. And an example of this takes place years ago with an Ethiopian man in, of all places, Las Vegas. He was a Lutheran pastor who was searching for a confessional Lutheran congregation where he could share the Word of God in its truth and purity. How did a man in a predominantly Muslim country become a Christian and a confessional Lutheran at that? Credit the Holy Spirit. The Ethiopian man, we're told in our text today, went on his way rejoicing, and through his rejoicing, the Spirit grew the church, the Christian faith in Ethiopia in those early centuries, in what became known in history as the Coptic Church, part of the Eastern Orthodox branch of Christianity. And then later in the 16th century, Lutheran missionaries brought the teachings of Luther to Ethiopia and taught the gospel apart from works, a teaching that had been muddled and mixed in the churches of Ethiopia by that time. But as this pastor, his name was Yared, studied the Bible after he came to faith through the Holy Spirit and baptism, he began to realize that both the Lutheran Church in Ethiopia and the Coptic Church there were not teaching the Bible in its truth and purity, and the Spirit led him on a journey to several countries before he came to, of all places, Las Vegas, and to the door of one of our Wells congregations. And he found a church that was teaching the Word in its truth and purity. And he went on his way rejoicing. Whenever and however the Spirit works, it always leads to rejoicing. And as he works in you and me today on this Shoreland Sunday, I pray that we will also be able to go on our way rejoicing. And that happens because our joy comes from the message that we hear. The man of our text, we're told, found himself caught in the tension between what is and what ought to be. Our text tells us he got up and went, and there was a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Someone who had known the God of the Old Testament in a foreign country, because the Spirit was working as a missionary back then too. But this man found himself in this tension because in Jerusalem, among the Jews, he was more of a nobody than a somebody. He would have been considered a second-class Christian, I suppose you could say. Someone looking in from the outside. He was called a proselyte at the gate, a Gentile Christian. In fact, the Gentiles had their own special place outside of the temple area where they could stand and worship God. They couldn't even be a part of the regular worship. He loved God. But there was this tension of what ought to be and what he found himself in. And the same thing can be said about his understanding of the gospel, the good news of salvation. He may have well understand the sacrificial system of the Old Testament and the gospel there, God saying, I am going to give you your forgiveness and all that you need. He may have known that God was going to finally send the final and perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. However, he didn't know the what is, that the perfect sacrifice had already been offered, not at the temple, but at the place called the skull. But the Holy Spirit knows how to open up the eyes of those and heart of the people who read the Bible. And so he used Philip, one of the early evangelists, to open up this Ethiopian's eyes. Our text says he was on his way home, sitting in the chariot, reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit told Philip, go over there and stay close to that chariot. Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I know unless someone explains it to me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will talk about his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began to speak. Starting with that very passage of scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. This happened maybe within the first year or two after Jesus' resurrection, by the way. The Ethiopian was a very rich man, rich enough to own his own set of scrolls, or what we would say is own his own Bible, which was probably worth thousands of dollars in those days. But the words didn't make any sense. But through Philip, the words finally did make sense. He was filled with understanding from the Holy Spirit. But more than that, he was filled with a living and enduring faith in his Savior. Because Philip told him the good news. He talked to him about Jesus. That he was not simply a man or just a God-like person, but that he was God who took on human flesh to resist the sins that plague us and conquer the death that frightens us. Philip told him how Jesus stepped into the waters of the Jordan to fulfill all righteousness, to live the life of perfection that Almighty God had demanded from you and me and all humanity, and who fell short of that demand. He told him how Jesus stood in humanity's place and endured the horrible separation from God for every sin committed. And he washed them all away. He told him how Jesus rose from the dead to prove all humanity, to prove to all of us that our sins truly are forgiven and that the doors of heaven truly are open. And he told him about the resurrected Jesus, how he went to heaven as the ultimate authority to guide history for the sake of his church, and to send the Holy Spirit into the hearts of his faithful. And the Ethiopian man, we're told, went on his way rejoicing. And what a lesson that is for us today, because we have tension too, don't we, between what ought to be and what is. It's a reflection of our own journey in life. What ought to be is a life free from fear and filled with rejoicing at all times. And think of it for a minute. Right now, you and I are right between the big celebration of Jesus' birth, when there's all sorts of rejoicing, and we're walking towards Easter, when there's all sorts of rejoicing, and that should mean that we are always rejoicing, right? But what is doesn't always reflect that. We find ourselves sometimes in spiritual doldrums, don't we? We're separated from one another at this time. Masks serve as nothing more as a barrier for us. Instead of rejoicing, we feel lonely. Uncertainties about the future, especially as it concerns the chaotic state of events in our nation lately, or the concerns about the virus, take our eyes off the joy that can and should permeate our lives, and what is doesn't look like what ought to be. And the same thing can be said about our own spiritual lives, right? You know, Paul put it this way in the book of Romans. He said, I don't understand what I'm doing because I do not keep doing what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. But now it is no longer I who am doing it, but it's sin living in me. Indeed, I know that that good does not live in me, that is, in my sinful flesh. I desire to do good. The desire is present with me, but I am not able to carry out. So I fail to do the good I want to do. Instead, the evil I do not want to do, this is what I keep doing. Why? Why do I continue to fall into the same old sins and the same unhealthy spiritual habits? Why? Why do I let that bad part of me slip out and embarrass me and make a bad reflection of who Jesus is? Why? And instead of rejoicing what ought to be, what is we are filled with grief, shame so often. But thanks be to the Holy Spirit, who has built a temple in our hearts. Jesus says that the Spirit not only is there to convict us when it is needed, but he is also there to comfort us as well. And he brings us back to this message of Jesus' great work for us and the great grace and the unending patience that our Father has for us. His word becomes our comfort and our refuge, and we flee to that word, and when we do, we can go on our way rejoicing. But there's more. Our joy comes from the sacrament that seals God's grace. When the Ethiopian man came past water, he said, why not get baptized right away? Interesting. You know, we don't know how long this conversation lasted between Philip and the Ethiopian. Was it hours? Was it minutes? We don't know. But in that very short amount of time, one of the things that Philip made sure to talk to him about was the blessing of baptism. That Ethiopian learned in that short period of time that the water connected to the gospel promises of God was a way that God sealed his grace on him. You know, several years ago, I got into one of those knockdown, dragout discussions with some of my students who were convinced you don't need baptism. And I said, well, why would you pass up a treasure from Jesus, a treasure more valuable than gold or silver? You see, the difficulty that I think was happening at the time is people look at baptism as something that we do for God, rather than looking at it as something that God does for us. And the Ethiopian understood that God was doing something for him, that was sealing for him the gifts that God had given him, that he was forgiven, and that he was an heir of eternal life. Baptism was putting an indelible mark on him, the mark that said, you are God's child. That when God looks down from heaven, he sees that. And he says, there goes my child. He, like us, wanted this sacrament. He, like us, needed this sacrament. Jesus not only says that he loves us, but in the sacrament he shows us how he loves us. Just like when we take the Lord's Supper, he shows us by letting us taste his love. When I see water, I am reminded that I am a somebody in Jesus' eyes. And I'm not on the outside looking in. I'm part of that family. And when they stepped up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He rejoiced all the way back to Ethiopia, carrying with him that word of God. And the Holy Spirit moved like the wind through this man's testimony to bring the gospel of forgiveness and the hope of eternal life to a place filled with lost souls, to people who needed to hear that their Savior had fulfilled all righteousness for them, and that their gift from God is eternal life. And even today, the Ethiopian will trace his faith back to this man. And that reminds us that our joy not only comes from the message we hear and that the sacrament which seals us, but also knowing that we are instruments for the Holy Spirit. Philip probably had no idea when he woke up that morning that he would meet this man, travel to go see him, and then be whisked away immediately to share the good news with people far away. What a joy, though, it must have been for him in that short time that he knew that Ethiopian man, that he left him as a brother in Christ. And the Holy Spirit can do and does work through you when you communicate that same good news to others. Don't be afraid to talk about the gospel, to talk about Jesus, because we know that the Holy Spirit, who moves like the wind, can open the eyes of the blind, and that he can arouse life in the spiritually lifeless. Your neighbor, your co-worker, your friend, your family member, your fellow student classmate who does not believe in Jesus, that's where the Spirit can work faith in their hearts. Don't be afraid to be that vehicle through which the Spirit works through you like he did through Philip. And then remember that it's not only just hearts lost that Jesus works in, but he also strengthens the faith of all those who call on him as their Savior as well. And you and I have that collective joy of serving our youth in our grade school, but also at Shoreland Lutheran High School. We have a place and we place the message of Jesus born, baptized, and resurrected in the lives and hearts of our students on a daily basis, so the Spirit can grow their faith. We want them to know the joy of forgiveness, and let them see what it means to be a part of the family of God. At Shoreland, we're connected to school choice. And that means that we've been finding that we have more and more an opportunity to share the gospel with people that come from different churches. But still the Spirit is working through them, and more than that, we find that we are able to share the gospel with students who have never heard about their Savior. And it's a joy to know that it's the Spirit who works like the wind to enlighten them through that word and to bring them to faith. We have every reason, friends, to go on our way rejoicing today. The message we hear of forgiveness fills us with peace and joy. The sacrament that we are reminded of seals the fact that we are family of God. And the Spirit, He is pleased to use you when you walk out of those doors to bring the gospel to others. So go on your way rejoicing. Maybe we can't see that joy behind those masks in your face, but let it be seen in your eyes and in your life of service to others. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.